St. Francis of Assisi was often considered the closest saint ever to Christ. And this is the one who was kind of a man of extremes. On the one hand, he loved nature, and he called the sun brother and the moon sister and the donkey brother. He's the one who invented the creche celebration of Christmas, but with live animals and with children. And he was out in nature all the time and just saw God in everything. And he was also filled with joy, a great sense of humor, known to be one of the happiest people of his time. But then there was the other extreme, where he did severe fasting and penance. He would spend months in a cave, having only bread and water brought to him. He died at the age of 42, having literally worn out his body with fasting and penance. And he inspired generation upon generation of Franciscans. The whole European continent was more or less renewed and refreshed by his inspiring example. But Christ was very similar to that. Christ had nowhere to lay his head. He was an itinerant preacher moving around, sleeping in the fields. Seems to have loved life. He loved hanging around with people, even tax collectors and sinners. He had a good sense of humor. And yet he was willing to go to the cross for our salvation. So these are kind of people of extremes. And extremes don't necessarily mean that we need to emulate them exactly, but extremes make the best examples. And what we're really looking for here is some kind of a balance. The ability to experience life in this world and enjoy it and be thankful for it, and yet at the same time not be possessed by it or not try to possess it. Interestingly, Pope Francis took the name of Francis of Assisi when he became Pope, because he also has a great sense of humor and loves life and loves people. He was famous, you might remember, when he was Archbishop in South America, for taking the bus instead of driving around in his own car. He wrote an encyclical, Laudato Si, about care of our planet. He has a great reverence for the earth. And reverence for something really comes from not possessing it, not owning it, not being in charge of it, not using it up, but standing in a sense at some distance in awe and respect, and that's when you can really appreciate it. We do the same thing with human beings. Good friendships, good marital relationships, they're filled with joy most often when we don't try to possess that other person. When we don't try to control them or manipulate them, but just kind of enjoy them with a certain respectful distance that honors who they are, that doesn't try to change them or manipulate, but just honors them for who they are. And we don't always do a good job of that. Even religion can get out of balance. We have a wonderful example of that in the gospel story today. Doing things for show, doing things to kind of manipulate God, doing things, you know, religious things in a way that I get to control things. Manipulating God is taking my good works or my religious actions and sort of shoving them to God like so many poker chips and saying, okay, now I've done all these things, now you owe me salvation. And of course, we know how foolish that is. God never owes us anything. Salvation is pure gift. And when we can accept it as gift, when we can distance ourselves from it and allow the truth to take root in us that we are not in control, that we can't earn our salvation by any religious acts, by any acts of charity, or these things are done to lose me, not to gain me. And so we were all at one point baptized into Christ Jesus. We lost our identity apart from him. Now we only have an identity in him. As St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. This new person has risen from the baptismal drowning. And this new person is not really me, but Christ in me. But it takes a lifetime, doesn't it, to really own that, to really celebrate that. And one of the reasons we sign ourselves in that baptismal font every time we come in here is because we need a daily reminder that we belong to God, not to ourselves. That we belong to the earth, not to ourselves. That we belong to others, not to ourselves. So Lent is a time to kind of try to get the balance back, to celebrate what God has given us, to celebrate all the wonderful things that life affords, and to celebrate it in a way that is respectful and somewhat distant and non-controlling. The Bible has a number of stories about people putting on sackcloth and ashes, and we heard one of those for our first reading today. But there are, I can think of four or five other instances in the Old Testament where that kind of attitude or that kind of behavior is put on by people who suddenly are hit by the reality that they have sinned, hit by the reality that they have lost their balance, they've lost they just become out of sync with the world, out of sync with the human community, out of sync with God. And one of the ways of waking up and calling myself back is ashes. And so it may be a bit exaggerated, but it works as a symbol, doesn't it? It works as a symbol that we want to return, that we want to strike the balance once more, that we want to recognize that we have gone astray, that we've gotten out of sync, and only God can bring us back. And so we're here tonight to accept those ashes, to accept that intention that in whatever way this year, this Lent, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to discover through these 40 days what coming back for me means.